Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Into consideration, the strength of that foundation has to support what you're going to build on it. Amen? If you want to build your life on the right foundations, you've got to get rooted and grounded in love. Amen? You've got to start understanding, appreciating God's love for you, and you've got to start reciprocating that love back to the Lord. That's the foundation to build on. Amen? So that way when you speak truth in love. Truth can be really tough stuff to deal with sometimes, and if you don't know God loves you when you hear His truth, it could hurt you in the sense that you feel condemned instead of convicted. And God doesn't want you condemned. He wants you convicted when it's necessary. I welcome conviction. Conviction keeps me straight. Hallelujah. Amen? I like to stay straight. Amen? I want to be on the right path. Righteousness pays dividends. I mean, it really, really does. Peace with God is powerful stuff. Having God's protection around your life is powerful. Having God's choice blessings is powerful stuff. Amen? I don't want to be wrong. I mean, it's bad enough to have the devil against me. I don't want God ticked off at me. Can you say amen? I want Him to help me stay in the path of righteousness. And I need His help to do that. I can't just do that on my own. I need God's help. But if I ask Him for it from a sincere heart, He's going to grant it to me and He's going to give it to me. Can you say amen? Wholehearted devotion is going to bring a Christian life that takes on a brand new tone. I can't explain it. The old timers used to say it's better felt than telt, your experience with the Lord, and that's very much so. Just for beginning the service, how many were here this morning?
Hallelujah.
We were in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. We can't go through that whole service again, or it'd take an hour and a half just to get started tonight. But I will read it to you and a brief synopsis, and we'll move on and talk about defeating the enemy within half-heartedness. Everybody say half-heartedness.
Half-heartedness.
Now, somebody said half-heartedness as if you were demonstrating what half-heartedness really is. Amen. You did it because I asked you to do it, and you're such sweet people. You would probably do a lot of things I would ask you to do. If I decided to try to cheer you up tonight, we'd have a rousing chorus, and sometimes the rousing chorus is in order. But we would sing one of those songs where, you know, like the joy of the Lord is my strength, and to get you moving, get your blood circulating, you know, to try to get you emotionally lifted just a little bit. We'd say, if you want this joy, you got to sing for it. If you want it, you got to shout for it. If you want it, you got to clap for it, because now you got your hands. Yeah, I know the hands are hanging down, but now you're going to say, okay. I mean, did you know a seal will do that for a fish? So, you know, you don't have to be very bright if you know, okay, we can do this. We can do this. The seal says, I can do this to get a fish. We can do it, amen, to get the approval of our pastor, our peers, can't we? We can clap our hands, amen. So we used to, if that didn't work, oh, by the way, we'd even get you on your feet and off your feet in the air if we could a little bit. Try to do a little bit of David dancing. You know, if you want this joy, you have to jump for it. I used to jump pretty high at the old Holy Church of God. I don't jump quite as high anymore. Praise God. But I could do that tonight. And we could try to stimulate you emotionally. But guess what happens? If God doesn't capture your heart and you don't start serving God wholeheartedly, you're going to go back in a humdrum Christian experience when you leave. You're going to live in disappointment and you're going to live in disillusionment. And you're not going to have that rich life in the Lord that He wants you to have. And you're not going to have those victories that are promised here in the Word of God. Well, this is a promise book. Everybody say, this is a promise book. I mean, God don't mess around. He said, I swore by my own holiness that I wouldn't lie to David. The New Testament kind of spins off of that in the book of Hebrews and says, you know, we have an anchor that's sure and steadfast for the soul. And the preceding scripture tells what that anchor is, that reaches into that is behind the veil, into the very person of God and the very character, holy character of God who cannot lie. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, because He could swear by no greater. There's no God greater than Him. There's no other God than Him, in fact. Amen. There's no gods that claim to be gods, but there's only one true and living God, the Creator of all things. And He said, there's nobody. If there's anybody greater than me to swear by, I'm so desirous of telling you how committed I am to my covenant and my promises. Amen. If there's anyone greater to swear by, I would swear by someone greater. But the fact is, there's no one greater than me. So I swear by myself. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we have these two immutable things, His Word and His oath to perform it. Now we're talking about a God who, not a God who doesn't lie, we're talking about a God who cannot lie. He can't lie. He doesn't have to make, we have to make the choice. Because we can if we choose to. God can't make that choice. In Him there is no darkness at all. That's why the light is so pure that if you look on it, amen, it could blind you like it did Paul in his full expression. That's why glory attends His presence, because there's no purity like that in the universe that except that resides in God Himself. To think that God will live in you and me is a mighty thing, my brother and my sister. Amen. I'll tell you, the blood does a greater job than you realize probably that it does. No wonder we use that as our defense against the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. We can never stand before the accuser sinlessly perfect, but we can stand perfectly cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So we got an anchor for the soul. The anchor is that God can't lie. Well, I want to serve Him from my heart. I want to serve Him in sincerity and truth. And I'll just read the scripture again, 2 Kings 13. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. So when this was taking place, Elisha is sick. He's getting ready to die. He's a weak old guy, and he knows he's in his last days. Joash was the mighty king of Israel. He came down unto him, wept over his face, and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." I want to just bring your attention once again to the fact that you don't look to some great champion of God, amen, to develop your, except for inspiration for your own faith, amen. This prophet is going to go, but God isn't going anywhere. God's covenant isn't going to be weakened when Elijah goes. Amen. God's just as willing to defend Israel through another champion as He was him if someone will step up and be counted for Him. And Elisha knows there needs to be someone step up here and receive the anointing and stand in faith and see God's wonderful, powerful miracles. So Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows," because they had enemies that were committed to their destruction. Do you know that we've got enemies committed to our destruction? Satan isn't kidding around about this. Satan is wholeheartedly committed to our destruction and to the destruction of the gospel, amen, in the world, the destruction of the church. If he could kill it, he'd kill it. Amen. If he could destroy you, he would. Satan desired to have you, Peter, that he might walk. He saw the potential in him. Jesus is grooming him for ministry. He says, "Bad enough I've got Jesus to deal with. He's going to get other people into this thing, involve others in this thing." And he said, "He desires to have you that he might sift you as the wheat." So if you think getting called and anointed of God is just going to give you an easy road, I got news for you. Satan has a design and Satan has a desire, and he'd love to tear you all to pieces if he could. The scripture said he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus said, "I prayed for you," listen to this, "that your faith would not fail." Hallelujah. That your faith would not fail. That your faith would not fail. And he was so sure of the effectiveness of his intercession, and he saw the heart of Peter, that even if he failed, he would get up in contrition and come back and get back on track. Hallelujah. He said, "And when," not if, "but when you're converted, strengthen your brethren." We need some people that have experienced that transition between that failing, fumbling, bumbling saint to that stalwart saint, because we have received the love of God in our life and we've made a full, wholehearted commitment unto Him. That's what He was after, wasn't it? Wholeheartedness. That's what Jesus was after in Peter. He gave him complete grace, complete forgiveness. Amen. When he could have chided him for all the failures that he had. But he gave him absolute and complete gracious forgiveness. Cooked him fish. Amen. When he could have sent some kind of plague on him to try to get his attention. But he loved him in spite of himself. He solicited love from him. Can you say amen? And he got it. He got Peter's heart, not in the upper room after that wonderful supper when everybody was talking so lovingly about Jesus, but under pressure it broke down. Can you say amen? But after it broke down and they failed and they ran off and they hid themselves and they distanced themselves from Jesus, and Peter was the most visible and the most vocal in his distancing from Jesus. Can you say amen? Two ladies didn't. His mama didn't. Thank God for mamas that'll stick with you through through it all. And thank God for Mary Magdalene's. Hallelujah. Praise God that it already, He'd already captured her heart. You know why? He that's forgiven much loves much. And Peter still had a self-righteous vein running inside of him. But that was blew away when he denied Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But when Jesus gave him forgiveness and offered him love in spite of himself. Amen. That self-righteous vein got clean out of him. It was gone because he wept bitterly in his own personal failure. But Jesus captured his heart when he cooked him fish. When he could have killed him. Could have just told him, you're no good for the kingdom. You've denied me publicly. I don't want you around me. Get out of my face. Where were you when I was on the cross? But he didn't. He loved him. And he got his heart. And when he got his heart, Peter gave his wholehearted devotion to Christ. Can you say amen? If you're going into a life of if you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to require wholehearted devotion. Right. Nothing less is going to cause you to follow him. Amen. Nothing less is going to cause you to follow Him. If you're not enjoying your walk with God, then there's an area of your heart that doesn't belong to Him. Amen. Hey, Brother Bimble, how can you say that? You don't know what's going on in my heart. I'm not talking about your, I'm talking about hearts in general. If a heart of a Christian believer is wholly set on Jesus, you're going to know victory in your life. Because God's supernatural is going to come into your life and come into play. And what you can't pull off and could never do in the natural, you can in fact do by the supernatural help that God is willing to give you to do it. Can you say amen? Paul was wholeheartedly committed. This is not just a faith issue. This is a heart issue. Can you say amen? Faith isn't much good to you if your whole heart isn't devoted to God. But if your whole heart is devoted to Him, your faith is going to expand and it's going to explode. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Devotion has something to do with it. I didn't say emotion. I said devotion. Hallelujah. Wow. Everything's changed when you get devoted. Your faith life changes. Half-heartedness will hinder your faith life. Amen. God will give you exceeding great and precious promises. And if you go at it half-heartedly, the devil will always sow doubt. He will always get you off course. He'll get me off course. So this was the problem that Joash had. He said, hey, we have a problem. Elijah will take care of it. We have enemies. Come, Elisha will pray. And now Elisha's dying. He's saying, oh, my God, there goes the chariot of Israel and the horsemen there. There goes the defense. There goes the anointed man that stands between us and our enemies. And you know what? This wonderful, gracious, dying prophet wanted him to know, God can do that for you, Joash. I walked with God and God has worked through me through a double portion anointing. And when my master was taken, Elijah, that anointing came on to me and I'm about ready to be taken. And he wanted him to know that anointing can come on you. Can you say, man? Amen. But he needs your heart. He needs your whole heart. Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took the bow and arrows and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. What a word picture, rich in symbolism again tonight. Hallelujah. This is Elijah using this illustration to the king to show how God's anointing worked in his life. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Hallelujah. This is how God wants to work in our life. He doesn't do it without us, and He doesn't allow us to do it on our own. Amen. Amen. He puts His hand on our hands when we put our hands in full surrender at His disposal for His purpose. Can you say amen? He puts His... Listen, the anointing is not something just comes on you, makes you shout. If you're not wholeheartedly committed to be obedient to the Word of God, then you're not going to have that flow no matter how many times you feel God's presence in a service. You're still going to go home, amen, and a lot of times feel empty and feel like God is distant, and you're certainly not going to get victories over your enemies. They're going to begin to prevail over you. But if you want victory over your enemies, amen, and have the faith to believe God for those victories, you've got to understand how the anointing works. When you become and I become obedient and with a full heart, hallelujah. God said, Elisha said, this is how it works. He puts his hand here. God puts his hand like I'm doing it right here. And you pull back and then God puts here. And can you imagine the difference it makes? Amen. He was saying, it's not this old sick man here. Amen. I'm showing you how God works in a life through the anointing. That's a lot better than a little liver shiver on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? The reason what you put your hand to prospers, amen, is because of the devotion that is represented in Psalm 1 in the first several verses. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Can you? Why? Because when you put your hand to that is in the will of God from a consecrated heart, God is going to put His hand on your hand. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Powerful, powerful illustration here. Because this king is looking to Him. When he's gone, it's over. He said, it's not over. God's power can come on you and God can use you, but you've got to get committed to this thing. Hallelujah. And I used the illustration this morning. He probably pulled the bow back halfway because the rest of it indicates he wasn't wholehearted. And the prophet and God was trying to get him wholehearted because God really wanted to defend Israel. And God really wanted an instrument to work through. And God really is looking for people today. The eyes of the Lord, the book of Daniel said, run throughout the earth to and fro, looking to show Himself strong. Everybody say to put His hand on my hand. To show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward me. This is more than just a faith issue. This is a devotion issue. Hallelujah. That's why we go to faith seminars. We don't hear anything about the Lordship of Jesus, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the not my will but thine be done. Amen. We just hear a message about using faith principles and formulas to manipulate God to get what we want. There's something real flawed in that. Because when you read the Scripture, it don't work that way. But boy, if you surrender... Oh, by the way, let me run this by you. What He wants for you is better than any selfish ambition that you could possibly have. And even if you get it fulfilled, then you say amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. A missionary tonight in Borneo has more joy than a yuppie sitting in a church service trying to believe God for a Lexus. In order to be happy. I guarantee you they have more joy. Like MC Hammer says, you can't touch this. Can you say, man, the joy of the kingdom outshines any joy created by anything in the material world. Hallelujah. Wow. Never seen anyone sold out to God mourning. I've seen a lot of people that are not wholehearted, really can't worship fully. Can't serve fully, can't find the strength because of the absence of the joy. Can you say, man? Jesus said for the what that was set before Him, He's going to die on a cross. But something is stimulating Him to help Him get through that ordeal for the joy that was set before Him. Amen. When He cried in the garden and said, if there's any other way, let the cup pass. But when He bowed His head and bowed His heart wholeheartedly and said, not my will, but thine be done. Angels came and ministered unto Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. There's joy in this thing. There's joy in full surrender. There's joy in a wholehearted commitment to God. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you won't get it from singing the joy of the Lord. You won't get it from clapping or dancing. You're going to get it from surrender. Full surrender means absolute freedom. And it means a freedom for God to move in your life. It's a scripture that says, be separate unto me, saith the Lord, and I'll be a father to you. As it is written, I will walk in them and I will live in them. The word walk is preamble, and it means to move about freely. And when God is able to move through, I'm going to tell you, God moving through you is better than God moving to you. Can you say amen? Because out of your belly, come on, it starts in you. You already have it, so you're not looking for it. It's in you. And the presence of God is in you. Christ is within you. God the Father by the Spirit is living within you. Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And out of your belly shall flow. And it's that outflow that is so satisfying. Can you say amen? The inflow prepares you for that outflow. But once you receive, amen, the Bible said it's better to give than it is even to receive. You receive, in fact, so that you can give. You were given the Holy Spirit so you could build up the body of Christ, so you could be a witness unto Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Everything He's given you is for you to give out. Hallelujah. And it's in the giving out of it, not the continual asking for more of it, but the giving out of it, the outflowing of it, that becomes your joyous satisfaction in your life. Hallelujah. You found your power and purpose when you're able to give out of what God has invested in you. Hallelujah. So all this, it looks like hard work and going to require so much, pay such dividends. And here's a king that's obviously half-hearted, puts his hands on his, and the king is pulling about halfway back, and this sick man about to die puts his hands on his and says, this is how you do it. You pull it back as far as it'll go with all your strength. Everybody say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
And he told him to take the arrows, and I'll just paraphrase this. You can read it for yourself, and smack the ground with the rest of the arrows. Amen. He took him. He hit the ground 3 times in obedience to the prophet, but not out of his own heart commitment to victory. Amen. And the prophet was wroth with him, upset with him. He said, I just showed you how it worked, and you still don't get it. You pull the bow half back. Amen. And now you're just, got half-heartedly hitting the ground. He said, you should have smote the ground 5 or 6 times. Why did he say that? Well, 3, 5, 6? What? They didn't tell him how many times they hit the ground. What he's saying is, if you do something wholeheartedly, you're not just going to do it 2 or 3 times.
Amen.
You're going to do it like you mean it.
Right.
Can you say, man, it's not going to be just religious duty or routine. You're going to do it from the heart. It's going to be different. Anything you do from the heart is different.
Yeah.
Can you say, man? There's a whole lot of people that are obedient on the outside, but they're not got an obedient heart on the inside. They don't drink, but they don't bow to the Lord as the Lord of their life. They just don't do it like little Johnny. The teacher goes up and tells him, say, Johnny, you sit down. You sit down and stay in your seat. And he sits down and mumbles to himself, I'm still standing up on the inside. Amen. But you can sit down and still stand up on the inside. You can go through the motions of obedience and not have a willful heart. And what you do without a willing heart don't count to God, even though you do the right thing.
Amen.
That's why the Bible said, and I love the counsel of the Lord in Isaiah. It said, come, let us reason together, saith God. Though your sins were red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Your sins are scarlet. They're glowing before me, but they shall be white as snow. Amen. So let's talk about it. Let's reason together. I'm able to forgive you and restore you. He said, if you be willing and obedient. Everybody say willing and obedient. Everybody say wholehearted in your repentance. Amen. You'll eat the good of the land. Didn't he say something a while ago about his choice blessings would be? Hallelujah. You'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, he didn't just ask for obedience, did he? Did he? No. He said if you be willing and obedient. Well, somebody said if I'm not willing, I won't be obedient. That's where you're wrong. There's a lot of people who go through the motions of obedience without a willing heart. That's why the Bible said if you give and you don't do it out of a willing heart, there's no blessing on it even though you did it. Isn't that incredible? It said if any man give, don't do it out of necessity and don't do it grudgingly. That means you're doing it, but in your heart you're saying, boy, I wish I didn't have to tithe because that plasma TV is really beautiful. I kept looking for, the picture, see if it was worth $10,000. And I thought, boy, you could almost get a, you could put a big down payment on a car. I mean, you could, can you, $10,000 for television? I mean, dear Lord in heaven, help us. And there are people buying those things and putting them on their walls. Amen. There's people that give grudgingly so they can stay a member of a church. And they wonder, this don't seem to be working for me. Well, nothing works if it doesn't come from the heart. Praise don't work. God don't bless because you just follow the song leader. You got to bring something. You got to come in here with a grateful heart. You got to be just itching for the song service to start so you can blend your voice so that God can hear you. And the wonderful thing about God is He can separate. It's just like one of those big recording studios where they have this way of separating every instrument and every voice and putting everything is mic'd. Everything. Sometimes there's 12 different things or 15 or 18 or 25 on the soundboard and they can separate all of it. The great thing about God is He can take all the noise of a 5,000 seat sanctuary in praise, amen, and set your voice apart personally.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He can do that with prayer too, amen? Millions of prayers ascending to heaven, and He can hear your personal prayer. And you know what He wants to hear on Sunday morning? He don't want to hear this wonderful crescendo of praise from the entire church. He wants to hear the individual voices, the calves of your lips. Can you say amen? Coming from a heart of gratitude directed to Him and Him alone. That's what true worship is. That's what it means to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means it comes out of your heart. Doesn't mean you shout when you do it, dance when you do it. Can you say amen? Get holy laughter when you do it. It's not that kind of spiritual. It's that kind of sincerity, that kind of inner truth. God desires truth where? In the inward parts. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but where's God's gaze? God's gaze is on the heart. Keep your heart, therefore, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Amen. You will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Amen. With 90% of your heart, 90% of your mind. Oh, that's a big number now, 90%. We're talking almost 100 here. We're talking some big time devotion. We're talking about more than anyone or anything else, but not everything. Could you say amen? God said, you can't love me that way. You can't love me that way. You can't love me that way. You can't love me with this sentimental, wholesome back, amen, a hidden agenda type of love. You've got to love me completely if you're going to love me the way that I want you to love me, because I love you completely. How many know God didn't hold anything back? He gave His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. There's nothing more He could give to show you how wholeheartedly He loves you. And He said, I want you to love me back like I've loved you. Hello? So that's a lot different than just going to church on Sunday and doing your own thing Monday through Friday. Amen. Then coming in on Sunday and trying to worship and wondering why you're not getting much out of it. Well, you're not getting much out of it because God isn't either. You're not the only one not getting much out of it. He isn't either. Amen? Because you're not worshiping Him Monday through Saturday in your life. So you can't just worship by following a song leader on Sunday morning. I mean, God's not crazy. He's not senile. He knows their heart. And you can't just worship to get what you want and then live your own way after you get what you want from God. I need a job. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. Isn't that a sentimental song we can sing through our emotion? Without any devotion to His complete lordship, we can sing He is Lord. Everyone in here can sing it. And in your mind, really believe, yes, He is Lord. But when it comes time to obey Him and time to be wholehearted in our faith and wholehearted in our faithfulness, that begins to break down a lot of times. And it's that breaking down that takes the luster, that takes the joy and the victory out of our Christian experience. And we live between mountain peaks, which means most of the time we live in valleys. And God wants to get us out of those valleys. Hallelujah. It's a good job. The man should have done. He said, here's how God wants you to do it. You let her fly. Hallelujah. And you just do like this. If your heart's in it, you just don't go through the motions. You really show forth your faith. This is body language, I realize. It's not on the outside, it's on the inside. But when things are right on the inside, it shows up on the outside. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Half-hearted in the dictionary means lacking heart, spirit, or interest. Joash lacked faith, but he didn't lack opportunity. He had the opportunity to express his faith by wholeheartedly beginning to obey God. And that's really the essence of faith, isn't it? Obeying the Word from the heart. Everybody say, obeying the Word from the heart. Amen. It's not just doing what the Bible said as an act, but as an act of obedience from a heart of devotion. It's what makes all the difference. If you be willing and obedient, willing and then obedient, willing and then obedient, what happens? You'll eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, maybe not even on the outside initially, but on the inside, what happens? Then your enemies have victory over you. You'll be destroyed with the sword. Your enemies will have victory over you. Amen. But if you serve God from the heart, what happens? Willing obedience from the heart. The whole issue in Ephesus was first love was gone. They were doing the right thing. He commended them for all the right things, but it wasn't connected to the heart anymore. Amen. They were doing their duty, but their heart wasn't in it. Everybody say, when the heart's not in it, God don't want it. Even if it's a good thing. A required thing. A right thing. The heart isn't in it. God doesn't recognize it. God doesn't recognize worship. Do you realize that? If the heart isn't in it. Amen. Bring me no more incense. He says, I told you to bring it, but your heart's not in it anymore, so don't even bother bringing it, Psalm 50 says. Amen. Don't bring any more sacrifices till you get your heart right. You've got to begin to do it from the heart. You can't just go through your religious ritual, even though I gave you the ritual. Amen. Still, if your heart's not in it, I don't accept it. Amen. He said, what do I want from you? I want that grateful heart. I want that heart that says, I want to do this because I love and appreciate my God. Hallelujah. Wow. What would happen if the lackadaisical, lackluster Christians that just live their life in mediocrity and valleys of defeat decided one day, the problem isn't with God. Faith does work. God is faithful. The promises are true. I've got a heart that needs fixing. Lord, recapture my heart. I want this flame to burn again. Hallelujah. Amen. God not mad at nobody. Amen. Using this sick old prophet to stand beside a king that needed his heart fixed. Hallelujah. And show him how faith works and how the anointing works. God's hand on your hand is a mighty thing when you shoot the arrows of deliverance. God can really pull back that bow. God can really hit a target. Can you say amen? Joash never got it. So he said, you're going to win some, lose some. You smote the ground three times, you'll have three victories over your enemies. That's it. The rest of the time, they're going to have victories over you. How much of Christianity has lived on a testimony of a victory 5 years ago with no semblance of a personal victory in the present? Sometimes we're living on past testimony. We should draw from the past. But those days, that was then, this is now. Can you say, man, the problem with Joash, he went out and got a victory. Amen. And he went out again and got a victory. And he went out again and got a victory. But after the third time, because of half-heartedness, his victories were over. And his enemies began to get the victories over him. Can you say, man? You ever wonder why we have great promises and great anointings on our life and we don't have those victories? Because God's hands are not on our hands when we are not willing to be wholehearted. God won't force you to pull the bow all the way back. You've got to have a heart to do it. But when you do, He'll give you the strength. His hand on yours is His strength in your life. Can you say amen? To achieve His purpose. It's incredible stuff. When we're half-hearted, we only win partial victories. The Scripture said you'll only hit three times all the victories you'll have. The prophet said, man, you should hit it five, at least six, and then you would have totally vanquished your enemy. They wouldn't have rose up again. That's why God made the sun stand still, so that they could vanquish an enemy. Can you say amen? Fight to the finish. Get it done. If you're battling with heroin addiction, God don't want to get you delivered. Amen. In some deliverance service, and for 6 weeks you're clean. Then you fall in with the wrong crowd because you're not devoted to Christ. You go back out in your old patterns. You end up with a needle back in your arm, and the last state is worse than the first. Can you say amen? God said if you're going to get set free, make a wholehearted commitment. It's not what you do at the altar. It's what you do when you walk away from the altar that determines true repentance. Let me tell you something about real repentance. It radically, dramatically changes your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it sets you free. When we're half-hearted, we only win partial victories. Joash became one of those win a few, lose a few people. Well, when they went into the promised land, they didn't go with a win a few, lose a few attitude. If you're losing some, there's something needs fixing. Here's the good news. God is a wonderful fixer of the wrong things in our heart. David wouldn't even trust himself to look inside himself. He wanted God to do it. He wanted God to. I mean, David had tried it, failed. He messed up royally, and he said, I don't trust myself anymore. Well, the Scripture said we're not supposed to trust ourselves. There's a healthy distrust of self. Amen. We need to submit ourselves to God, especially through His Word. It's a searcher, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And since the heart is desperately wicked and deceiving, deceptive above what? Above everything else, the human heart can get in that condition. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of truth. We need to wholly introspect. We need God to put us under the microscope, the white, hot light that emanates from Him of truth that reveals every weakness and flaw and hidden agenda in us. And we need God to gently but powerfully bring it forth in our life and say, you see this? Do you see what the problem is? And you need to be man enough and woman enough of God to say, yeah, I do. Amen. I really do. And I need your help to conquer this thing. Hallelujah. Let's say it again. If I conquer the enemy within, then I can conquer any enemy without. Can you say amen? Joash could have conquered that troubling people that were coming to trouble Israel, completely vanquished them if he had served God wholeheartedly. That first generation could have went over and took the promised land if they'd have served God wholeheartedly. Can you say amen? So faith and wholeheartedness have to work together. You can go to faith seminars all day long. If you're not devoted to completely devoted to Jesus Christ, you're going to begin to use your faith for your own agenda. And God says, you might as well not ask. Amen. If you're going to ask to consume it on yourself. Because it's not a faith matter anymore. Come on. Amen. It's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of the hidden agenda in the heart. Come on. I want to have a great church and reach the city. You know what God knows when any preacher says that, including me? He knows if I want to reach the city or be a big shot preacher. And if we don't find it out down here, we're going to find it out at the judgment seat of Christ. Everything that's not done from a pure motive is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And when His fire touches, He's going to burn it up. Wow. Did you hear me? You're going to find some pastors from huge churches that got in it for the personal glory. And when they stand before Him, amen, it's all going to be burned up. It's going to be amazing, amen, because you're going to say, I thought for sure He'd have a crown this big. Can you say amen? But He's going to judge according to the heart attitude, not even the activity. Can you say amen? But the heart attitude. Wonderful thing about it is, you may be like me. Amen. Humble preacher. I'm a humble preacher. I hope I don't get, if I say it too much, then I'll be proud of my humility and I'll lose my crown. So I got to be careful how I say it, but I got to be humble. I mean, you know, there's nothing to feed my pride much. I mean, you know, your amens help a little bit, but there's always enough oh me's to calm me back down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But if I'm in obedience to God tonight where He wants me to be, serving Him with my whole heart, hallelujah, God's going to reward me for my wholeheartedness. Not whether I was big or small or anywhere in between, but doing all I knew to do for Him. Amen. Walking through every door that He opened for me. And believe me, it takes more surrender to preach in a small setting than it would to go to the first church in that fine parsonage with that nice auto allowance and other things. Takes more faith. But you know, no, it don't take more faith. It just takes being happy where God puts you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight I don't have the headache of 5,000 people. Chances are 1,000 of them have a serious problem and need to see me. Amen. And it just about killed Moses. Can you say amen? One thing about having 5,000 people, you can get you a large staff of counseling staff, and you can refer people to, amen, you need the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit people are over here. You need a devil cast out? Well, they're over there in this corner of the church. There's 15 people over there. Cast any devil you got out of you. Just go right over there and they'll take care of it. I'm going to the house. I preached all day, went to the hospital, had a funeral and a wedding and a baptizing. I'm going home and pop popcorn. Hallelujah. And watch Channel 22. I'm going to watch T.D. Jakes tonight. And y'all can do, or watch Hagee or whoever's out there. Praise God. Amen. But I got a man for this and a woman for that. And if you're in the hospital, there's a visitation committee going to come and see you. Sometimes the bigger church may give you a little more freedom than the little church. Anyway, that's back when I was full time because I wore all the hats. I'm happy to be here with you tonight preaching Jesus because this is where God sent me. What God does with this, I don't know where He's going to take us. I believe He's going to take us somewhere because He sure is sowing into us. I don't feel no ways tired. I don't feel like a little slumbering church out here. Hallelujah. God is alive in this place. The anointing is alive in this place. The Word is alive in me. The Word is alive in you. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen. I believe there are people in here that are true worshipers. I've known you enough, long enough to know that there are people in this room that are worshiping God from the heart. And there are people in this room that want to be wholehearted in their commitment to Christ. They're tired of playing church. They're tired of the win a few, lose a few. Amen. They've questioned God, questioned Himself, wondered if the devil had all power or God. And they're finally figuring out, amen, it's a heart problem and God wants to fix it. And the day we open it up to Him, God's going to come in to fix it. He's going to put His hand on the area of your life where your weakness and strength could never pull it off. When you put your hand to the bow in obedience, His hand is going to go right over your hand. When you begin to pull it back, His hand is going to go over your hand. Amen. Elisha said, this is how the anointing works. It's God just taking a hold of you. Hallelujah. So what you do in His name, what you do by His authority, what you do under His anointing will have His supernatural power and touch on it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why Paul, who was wholly devoted, said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. At my first answer, no man stood with me but Christ. Can you see this picture again? Christ stood by me and strengthened me. Can you see Jesus reaching around him and pulling it back when he preached? Can you hear the tension on that bow? That mighty bow that a man would quiver, and that other hand takes that hand and just goes. You hear the old bow going. Under the tension of God's might and power. God said, I got it so far back, if I pull it another millimeter to break the bow. There's no searching of his understanding. No fathoming of his strength. When he puts his hand on your hand, there's a mighty combination there. God can use people to do what he wants done in the earth. When we're half-hearted, we win partial victories. That's really sad because one day we're up, and the next day we were defeated. One day we got the victory, and the next day we have nothing that looks like victory. So God says what you need is to get wholehearted. And when you look around at the status quo, you may think you are. You need to quit comparing yourself with one another. Amen. This is the standard. Amen. That's what keeps me, hallelujah, going upward and onward. This is the standard. I got room to grow. I got places to go in God. Hallelujah. This challenges me. I appreciate the challenge. Can you say amen? It keeps me sharp. It keeps me straight. It keeps me onward. It keeps me upward. Hallelujah. It doesn't let me level out anywhere. Even if I think I've arrived, God reminds me, you ain't there. The limb I camp out on, it's not long I hear a saw going, shh, shh, shh. And God just saws it out from under me and says, you're either going to fall back or climb up. Hallelujah. Well, I've done been back. I don't want to fall back. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to climb on up. How about you? Hallelujah. Look at Numbers 33 just for a few moments tonight. We go deeper into this Bible study about partial victories. Partial victories are deceiving because at some point, the life of a church or a Christian, you think you've arrived, you think you've got it, only to discover if you don't fully dedicate, if you don't begin to serve God wholeheartedly, if you don't let His love stimulate you to love Him back and reciprocate love in kind. He gave His all for you. He says, now you give your all to me. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice. I beseech you by what? By the mercies of God. I poured my life out. I laid it down. I gave my best for you. Begin to respond to me in kind. Serve me from the heart. Even in giving. The Bible said when David began to give, the people began to give to the building of Solomon's temple. Wow. He said they did it from a willing heart. They did it with all their heart. What your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Could you say amen? It's talking about being wholehearted. No man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back half-hearted. Everybody say half-hearted. It's fit for the kingdom. The kingdom work cannot be committed to people whose whole heart isn't in it, because it has to do with eternity and where people spend eternity. And God can't give that to people that are playing church on Sunday morning. Can you say, man, who have hidden agendas? Amen. But people that are willing to sell out to Him and say, Lord, these souls are more important than what color the car robes are. I'm not going to fall out with somebody because they didn't shake my hand. I'm here to be part of a process of seeing God's work go forth and God's will come into the earth and His kingdom come and His will be done. Hallelujah. I'm not here, amen, to play these fleshly games. Praise God, to operate in worldly wisdom. I'm here to operate in the wisdom that comes from above. Amen. The wisdom that comes from below is earthly and sensual and devilish. And the Bible said, here's how you know if you're operating in it in the book of James. It says if you have envy, if you have strife, if you have divisions among each other, then that wisdom is coming from beneath. It's coming from the world. It's coming from Satan. And it opens the door for Satan to just have his way. Can you say amen? Because the flesh is the controlling factor and the overriding influence in that life. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure, first of all, and it's peaceable, and it's easy to be entreated. You're easy to get along with. You're easy to reconcile with. Hallelujah. You're teachable. You're soft-hearted. You're kindly affectionate to one another. Quick to forgive. Don't hold grudges. You don't come in moping and in a service because somebody across the aisle, Jesus is on the throne to be worshipped, but you're moping because somebody sitting in a chair over there offended you. Hey, get your mind off that person sitting in that chair. Get your mind on that person sitting on the throne. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, nobody sitting in no chair in this church is going to put a damper on me. I didn't come here to be affected by who's sitting in the chair and how they feel about me, but who's sitting on the throne and what He's done for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can get over it. You can't get over it with a half-hearted, half-baked commitment. Ephraim was a cake not turned. According to God in the Old Testament. The Old Testament equivalent of lukewarm was the tribe of Ephraim. He said, you're a cake not turned. That means you're done on one side and doughy on the other. Can you say, man? That's half-heartedness. That's a description of half-heartedness. You go through the motions, but not really from the heart. And He said, I would rather you be either completely uncooked or fully done. I would that you were hot. Hear it in the New Testament. Or I would that you were cold. It's not His will that you be cold, but He said if you're cold and you realize it, there's a great possibility for revival in your life. But if you're lukewarm, you don't feel like you need anything. That's why He couldn't get in the church of Laodicea. They had just enough to make them satisfied with themselves. And if you get just enough God to make you satisfied with yourself, and you don't try to pursue Him, and you don't make any deeper commitments to Him, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to have some joyous services. You're going to have the opportunity to see complete victory. But you're not going to put your whole heart in a devoted life to God. And you're going to walk out of here when the tests come. You're going to be discouraged easily. You're going to be deceived easily. Come on. You're going to lose victories to your enemies. You're going to find yourself in a lukewarm condition. You're going to find yourself in a backslid condition. And you can be in a backslid condition long before you quit church. Amen. Some backsliders leave and some just stay. Amen. I was under the impression when I first got saved, you backslide, you quit church and you quit God. No, some backsliders come on to church. They want to keep up the appearances. They actually want to keep their foot in the door because they need the church and they really need God. But God can't come through because they won't totally surrender to Him. And they're sad. They're depressed because they're oppressed. The enemy gets victories. Their victories are partial. Listen to it out of Numbers 33, 50 through 54. This is instruction to the people going into the promised land. There's a kingdom principle here in the New Testament. In order to possess something God wants you to have, you're going to have to dispossess those that are trying to keep it from you. Yeah. Yeah. Hello? Just because there's a promise out there don't mean you can just walk out and, you know, have curb service. Hello? Have God cater it to you. This is the whole issue with Israel. They didn't follow him wholly. They didn't wholly follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Or they would have crossed Jordan in faith and trust that the God that brought them out. Can you see the half-baked heart? I mean, any little obstacle. Well, any big obstacle. It doesn't matter. Big or small obstacle. If you ever say this, you're not wholehearted. Our God must hate us. He brought us out here in the wilderness to die. What a dirty trick. They even said it'd be better we died in Egypt than to die out here. Amen? Not only will the devil pull you away from God, he'll get you turning and questioning and even accusing God. Now, God blesses everybody else. He don't bless me. I don't know why he don't bless me. And we get a bad moping case of the mully grubs. It's not in the dictionary, I don't think. But we all know what it is, don't we? Ever had it? Don't raise your hand. Everybody know we did that. But I don't want to expose anybody here tonight. But God does. Why? So he can point a finger at us? No. So he can do some heart surgery? So he can get inside this beating heart? No. Get inside this spiritual inner man and do a work in that inward man. Praise God. And get something on the altar he's never had in your whole life experience. And that's a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ. When that happens, no matter what he asks you to do, there will be joy set before you. And the joy will strengthen you for whatever he asks of you. And he will never ask of you anything beyond your capacity to carry out with his hand on your hand to do it. How many believe you can do all things when Jesus does this? When you do that, he wraps himself around you, puts his hand on the bow, his hand on your hand, and he pulls it back with his strength. How many believe you can do all things if Christ does that for you? The anointing is not some abstract thing. This is an up, close, and personal expression of the presence and power of God. He does it with his arms around you. I said he supports you with his arms around you. He prepares you for battle with his arms around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you're passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their pictures, destroy their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I've given you the land to possess it. The New Testament counterpart to that is the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It means that there is a force opposing you entering into the kingdom. That's why through much tribulation, we take it anyway. Satan didn't want you saved. All hell arrayed itself against your coming to Jesus Christ. But when you got out of that chair, or you got down by your bed, or you prayed while driving your car, I want you to know you took by force something that he could not withhold from you, because God stood to push those forces back to receive you. And I'm telling you, all hell couldn't stop you coming to Christ as your Savior. If it could have, it would have. Can you say amen? It's the biggest battle you'll ever fight in your life. And if you're a Christian tonight, you won it with God's anointing and God's help. When you set your heart wholeheartedly to come to Christ, all hell couldn't stop you from coming to him. Amen. And let me tell you something. You set that same heart to serve him, and all hell can't stop you from serving him. And you take your whole heart to obtain these promises, and hell can't stop you from that either. So you dispossess the inhabitants of the land that dwell therein. I've given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give more inheritance, to the fewer you shall give less. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your father shall you inherit. So he's asking them to go over, dispossess the people. Look at verse 55. This is good. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them See, when God says obey me, He wants wholehearted obedience. He don't want most of your heart, most of your obedience. You get most of it right. He wants it all. He's God. He's God. He's not your daddy, physically, your mama, who said, well, you know, you cleaned up your room, you took out your garbage, you fed your fish and cleaned your aquarium, but you didn't vacuum your rug, but my goodness, just to get that much done thrills me to death. That's not the way. It's not your mama. She's going to applaud you for doing most of it. This is your Creator and your Savior, your Deliverer. This is your God. Come on, I'm not reading from the book of the Holy Church of God written by Robert A. Venable. This is how I think you should live your life. And you say, well, Brother Bill, I'm doing pretty good. I got, 14 of the 18 things that it said I should do this week. The other four I'll never get, but that's okay. Hey, I got 14. What do I get? 80%? 85%? Passing score? God said, this ain't about passing score. This is about the area of your heart that I don't own. This is about the area of your heart that doesn't belong to me. This is about the area of your heart that you haven't given up. That's the area that Satan builds his stronghold on, unless you do something about it. Hello? Give no place to the devil. You know what the word place means in the Greek? Ground, terra firma. You've got to give it to him for him to do something on it. He can't take it. He has no authority to do that in a believer. If you don't give place to him, he can't take any. But if you give place, that's his. It's not God's. It's not God's. It's his. Why? You gave it to him. Eve gave him a place in her life when she ate. Disobeyed God and obeyed him. She gave him a place. Adam gave him a place. Can you say, man? Shilama koleba. Church, we got to quit giving place to the devil and asking God to deliver us from the enemy. God says, if I'm going to deliver you from the enemy, I'm going to have to own that ground. Come on. Come on. The first step in victory over your enemy is not using the name of Jesus, not telling the devil to get out of your life, resisting him. The first step is surrendering to Christ. That's why the Bible said, submit yourself. Come on. Everybody say full surrender.
Full surrender.
Everybody say wholehearted commitment. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God before you even think of victory over your enemy. You get this thing done on the inside. Then you can deal with anything on the outside. Can you say amen? But you can't deal with the outside until you get it right on the inside. Hallelujah. Get this obedient heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then resist him. What happens then? Amen. The tide of battle turns dramatically. Amen. There's not a big tug of war. There's not a big struggle. You show me a drug addict strung out on heroin tonight that comes to an altar of repentance and makes a full-blown, wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord as well as Savior. And I'm going to show you a man or woman that doesn't need a methadone program. I'm going to show you a man or woman that can walk out of that church free from drug addiction without withdrawal, without DTs. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the testimonies are on the books. The testimonies are alive and well today. God is still a deliverer. Hallelujah. But he needs a whole heart. The reason we're not seeing miracles is because of any lack of teaching on faith. The reason we don't see many miracles is because we're not consecrated before him. Amen. He didn't tell them, get the people's faith built up and you'll see wonders tomorrow. He said, consecrate the people before me and I'll do wonders among you. Oh, hallelujah. Consecrate. That doesn't mean get 14 scriptures and chant them every day. It's your mantra to get God to move. God wants your heart. God wants to capture your heart. Serve him wholeheartedly and he'll put his hand on yours. Pull that bow back. If Joash had just got it, when the prophet just showed him how it's done, amen, you don't pull it back this far, buddy, you pull it all the way. This is for God and Israel. If you're going to be a defending king of Israel and you want that powerful anointing on you, you don't do it half-heartedly. You do it with everything you've got. Can you say amen? So he takes and he whacks three times.
half-heartedly. And the prophet says, oh, man. He was wroth with him. He said, you should have done it 5 or 6 times at least. Now you'll only have 3 victories over your enemy. You'll never vanquish him. But if you'd been wholehearted, you would have totally defeated them. Satan doesn't overwhelm anyone who God comes to deliver and pull them back into captivity. They never surrendered their heart and will. You ever heard someone with some kind of addiction or habit saying, when God takes this from me, I'll give it up. Honey, you'll never give it up, because God will never take what you're not willing, really willing. Somebody say, oh, but I want to be free. No, you don't, darling. I'm sorry. God is true and every man is the liar. If you really want to be delivered, you want it more than your flaky friends. You want it more than your stinky sins. Can you say, man, you want it more than your little moments of sinful pleasure? When you really want to be free, there is a Jesus who will set you free. And all hell will not be able to stop you. Can you say, man? Because all of heaven's resources, did you hear me? All of heaven's resources. I said everything God has got will be at your disposal to obey Him. You want victory? You pull that bow back. You have the heart to pull it back. God will put His hands on your hands. Hallelujah. And what you couldn't do in yourself, you can certainly do through the help and strength of God through the Holy Spirit. God ever get your heart, you can talk like Paul. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. Can you survive being persecuted? Yes, I can survive it. Hallelujah. Yes, I can. Can you survive being talked about? You betcha, buddy. Hallelujah. There's one on the throne who loves me and has shown me His good favor. His seal of approval is mightier than anybody's personal opinion of me. If I went to a preacher's convention, I'd do fine. I wear a 40 regular. Models wear 40 regulars. They're not as short as me, but it's a good size. I can put on a suit and look pretty good. I put a little black stuff on my mustache and look 3 years younger. No, I do not dye my hair. I'll answer that question right now. The mustache, let's don't even go there. It gets so wide it looks like Gabby Hayes and you can't see it. So sometimes I treat it just a little. I don't take away all the gray lest anyone suspect. I'm glad to see George is just wanting to be honored. Amen. Because, you know, honor the hoary head, which means white. Hoarfrost means white. The word means white, the old ancient word for white. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm so glad. See, if we were in a church where the seniors class would be in the seniors class? Well, you may. What is it? Is 50 where they put you over there? 55. Well, I'd be in the senior. How many 55 or over would be in the seniors class? Amen. Just us? Just us would be 55. Oh. Patty. Oh, Lord, help Patty tonight. Oh, help her with her vanity, oh God. Patty, you're a good-looking senior, so just go ahead and praise God. He's done well with you. Hallelujah. Patty, you'd have to be in the senior's class with the rest of us. Come on now. You know what David said? David said, I was young. I went through youth. I walked with God from my youth. I was young. Hallelujah. Young shepherd boy, and God's anointing came on me to kill lions and bears. Hallelujah. Now I'm old. I've come through life and I've come through personal failure, but God has never failed me. Amen. If you maintain a heart attitude that He will accept, it's not about your performance. It's a matter of your heart. If you're wrong and you come clean before God, He will forgive you. He will restore you. He will bring you through and still give you victory over your enemies. Your enemies would like to think that you're out of the battle, that you can never come back to a place of victory. But they are very, very wrong. Amen. They're going to face, after all the failures David had when he really opened his heart before the Lord in full-blown hope, wholehearted repentance, what happened? Man can't stand up against David and his army. God stands right back up beside his man. Other people may never forgive him, never respect him. Amen. One man, amen, took dust and threw at him. Amen. And took rocks and hurled them at him and cursed his name. And man standing at his side said, why don't you let me shut his mouth, literally cut off his head or cut out his tongue. And David said, let him alone. It may be that God bid him curse me this day. This may be a test of my character. Let him alone. In fact, God may requite me good as a result of his cursing. I'm telling you, it's not what people say. It's being right with God. Hallelujah. That's all that matters. I'm young and now I'm old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And haven't seen his seed beg for no bread. Because they got a God who comes through. A God who comes through. Wow. After 30 years of ministry, I can tell you God has come through. And is coming through. And will come through. But after reading this text with a deeper understanding, it makes me want to pull the bow back again. Because through this dispensation of grace, we don't have just one shot at it like they had in the old covenant. We got another chance to get it right. Whoa! Thank God for the new covenant that has a go-between, an advocate with the Father that says, boy, he pulled it halfway back and it didn't go very far, but Lord, he wants to pull it back again. And he means it this time. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pull that bow back again, don't you? Hallelujah. He said, open the window to the east where your enemy is and shoot the arrow as an act of faith that your God is going to give you victory. But do it with a whole heart. Wholeheartedness, this passionate love for Jesus, this passionate desire to serve Him. It's what makes a great church. You walk in, you feel it in the air. People are there passionate to praise Him. They're hungry to obey Him. One thing, when Marvin Gorman had a great church in New Orleans, Louisiana, predominantly Catholic area, he said they grew from 500 to 5,000 very, very quickly. Now they're transcending 5,000 all over the place. But we have one here, Church Without Walls, way beyond that. But 5,000 is a pretty decent number of people, especially before the mega churches were known that much. He said the unique thing about our church, and particularly the enthusiasm in our church and the zeal for God, the hunger for the Word of God, the hunger to worship, that just, I'll tell you, you know, what happens if you hunger and thirst after righteousness? God just comes and God just moves and God just flows. Amen? He said 4,000 of my 5,000 were ex-Catholic. They come out of a mass in Latin with no real encounter with the living God. And they come into that assembly of God in New Orleans into the presence of a living God and a listening God and a loving God and a lifting God. Hallelujah. And they were so excited to have what you get every Sunday. That's just, no, he's supposed to say that. He's supposed to get excited. There's supposed to be tongues and interpretation. This is Pentecostalism. Amen? But here we sit with our same heart attitude. Instead of saying, God just spoke and called us closer. I'm going to live this week different for Christ. Hello? Amen? 4,000 ex-Catholics turned on to a spirit-filled encounter with Jesus Christ. Wow, salvation experience, baptism in the Holy Spirit experience. Amen? Excited. Enthused. Everybody say enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. He should have pulled that bow back. He should have whacked the ground over and over again. But it was a heart problem. Everybody say wholehearted.
Wholehearted.
He said, if you don't dispossess them, if you don't get into this thing with your whole heart, See, this is this some victory and some defeat, this seesaw, this mountain valley thing, this inconsistency. Those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. Everybody say, that hurts.
That hurts.
That irritates. You can't get away from that. Thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land where you dwell. One paraphrase of that say they will give you endless trouble right in your own backyards. Satan is not afraid to follow you around, badger you. Joshua, how many know that's an incomplete victory? If you got that going on, you're not walking in victory. Can you say amen? He said, when I told you go over, I told you take it. You haven't took it. And if you let them stay. By the way, there is a story where the Moabites came on so sweet and so loving and so kind that Israel was deceived in letting them stay. And boy, they lived to regret it. Because, amen, if they wanted to defeat God's children, what did they do? They sent Moabite prostitutes in, amen, because they couldn't curse Israel, but said if they start, amen, marrying these women who sexually seduced them and deceived them, then they will bring their pocket gods. Literally, when they came home with a Jewish man, they brought their little gods, their little worship symbols in the pockets of their clothing. They called them pocket gods in the old culture, and they brought them in and set them up. I mean, you know, it's like a little pot-bellied Buddha sitting up to give your house that authentic, you know, Chinese or Eastern Asian feel when you've got there's a lot of Asian stuff that gives a room a nice appeal and an ambiance, amen. But honey, a pot-bellied Buddha is not part of that, because that's a god that is worshipped. Can you say amen? That is an idol, and that is an image. And you, if you got one, get rid of it. You don't need it, and God's offended by it. Hallelujah. Just get rid of the thing. Praise God. Amen. I don't want anything that somebody worships like that sitting around my house. Praise God. Amen. Anyway, just wanted to run that by you. They brought them in, and when they brought them in, it wasn't long. Not only did they break faith by marrying, amen, people that's outside the faith, but now they're beginning to say, let's blend. Their gods are not so bad. Let's see, we can get our blessing from our God, and they say they can get some from their gods, and they got these great testimonies of how they cried out to their gods, and amen. So let's kind of blend the worship of Jehovah and the worship of Yahweh with the worship of these gods of the Moabites. Honey, the day they did it, amen, the king said, now I can defeat them. Because as long as their God is with them in battle, no one can defeat them. But if they violate the covenant with their God and they break faith with Him, they won't have any covering in battle. We can easily defeat them. Honey, God wants to give His church back the covering in battle. Hallelujah. He wants to get rid of the defeat and the depression and the oppression. He wants to heal again, deliver again, set free again His people. We are Abraham's seed. We're not beggars looking for crumbs. We're children of the kingdom coming to His table. Just can't get this by building your faith. You've got to get it by letting Him purify your heart. Half-heartedness has to do with double-mindedness. And it said, cleanse your hands, you double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He asks in faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The heart gets centered on Christ, and it gets devoted, and there's a discipline that comes with devotion. Hallelujah. It's amazing when you love God, disciplines just come into place. But it doesn't start with discipline, it starts with devotion. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. That means to look lustily on a young woman. I just won't go there. And since that's settled before any exposure to temptation, then I already have the upper hand when the temptation comes. Joseph, young, red-blooded Jewish man, constantly hit on by Potiphar's beautiful wife, became so aggressive she took him by the cloak and said, lay with me. Amen. And he left her with the cloak in her hand, said, I won't sin against Potiphar. And here it is, Devotion. Everybody say wholehearted. You want to defeat the tempter? Get wholeheartedly devoted to God. It's not a matter of not feeling the pull of it. It's a matter of saying, my heart belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't sin against Joseph. I'm a Potiphar. And I won't sin against my God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? What's your great buffer? A wholehearted devotion. Not just a discipline, but a devotion. Discipline is just something you do because you have to. Devotion is something you do because you want to.
Amen.
You didn't hear me. Discipline is what you do because you have to. You want to lose weight, you've got to walk. You've got to jog, you've got to run, you've got to cycle, you've got to stair step. You don't want to, but you got to. Can you say amen? Those people in the gym are out there because they want to be. Yes, they're one of those super vain people, you know, that just looks at themselves in the mirror the whole time. Then they got a love affair going on with themselves at the gym. Oh, it all changes when you want to. When it's from the heart. It all changes. You see in this wholehearted, how it relates to faith and victory? Joshua 8, 2 and 3 in closing. You may stand for this so we can honestly close. Now all the children of Israel, all the tribes except seven, they've crossed the land, they've received their inheritance, but there's some people not wholeheartedly committed, and they're lagging back. Because you just don't go over and get it. You got to dispossess some people who don't want to give it up. We have a promise of healing. We got a devil who wants to keep us sick. We have prayer. We really want it, but our whole heart is not totally committed. We don't stay in the Scripture and stay before God. We just want someone to come with a mighty anointing and get it done so we can go back to our television, our old patterns, our old routine. I like when they pull the roof off the house. A friend of mine needed healing real bad, actually died of his condition, family member. Evangelist was coming to town with a healing anointing. He said, I believe if I get in that meeting, God will heal me. Well, that's what the woman with the issue of blood said. I believe I touched the hem of his garment. Not the man, but there'll be a point of contact for me to be healed. He respected this ministry. He went to the place where the ministry was taking place, and it was so crowded, he couldn't find a parking space. He said, if I'd have went, I'd have had to park way off and walk and sit in the back. And I thought, how bad you want healing? Is it worth walking three blocks, sitting in the back to show God you're sincere about? Listen, that guy that they brought to Jesus, and you know what he interpreted? Well, God must not will it because it didn't just, what, just open up. That's where the children of Israel missed it. They thought the promised land was supposed to be just over. Just walk over there and say, we're here. Hallelujah. But they found fierce armies, giants, and walled cities. Hello? Hello? How many know when you start standing on the promises of God, you're going to find out there's some giants in the land. Amen. Land that God said belonged to you, but they ain't giving it up without a fight. Amen. In order to possess, you've got to dispossess. And you've got to believe that God is going to be with you. When you take up the bow, that air of deliverance is not going to fly by the human agency, neither in the strength or the dexterity to hit the mark. That God is going to put his hand. He's trying to show Joash, when you go to battle, this is how God's going to be with you. It's going to be this close, this personal. And his strength is going to be upon you to do this. That's how it works. But you've got to have the heart to take that bow and pull it with everything you got. And when he sees you got that attitude, he'll place his hands on yours and do the rest. But you can't have this half-baked commitment and have a miracle. You can't be that easily discouraged and get a victory. So these guys hit the same situation as that family member of mine. House is crowded. There's no way in. I say, Jesus is in there. We came this far. We're not going to let that discourage us. We're not going to interpret that it isn't God's will. Amen. They climbed on the roof. The man submitted by faith. Let's do it, fellas. I can't do anything, but if you haul me up there, haul me up there. I don't want to go home in this condition. I'll die like this. I don't want to die like this. Amen. Haul me up there. Jesus is in there. He's a healer. I know he is. Get me in his presence however you can. And they went up on the roof. They hauled him up on that roof. They began to tear back the tiles on that roof. And Jesus was teaching in that house, filled to capacity. You couldn't press through to get in. Amen. And there's a commotion going on. Amen. And Jesus doesn't break. He doesn't stop. He knows everything. He's God incarnate. He knows what they're doing, but he doesn't make his move. Can you say, amen? He doesn't stop the service. He said, go bring them people in. They're trying to get a man to me, and there's no need to go into all that trouble. Yes, there was a need to go to all that trouble. You know what the need was? Because do you really want this? Do you really want it? Can you say, amen? You want to sit on a pew and have it served to you, curb service, or are you willing to act on the Word of God? I love the stories of people that drove 1,000 miles, amen, to get in a meeting. Something about driving 1,000 miles, amen. If you really believe, if I get in that meeting, not the man, but as a point of contact, God is going to move. Hallelujah. There's something about making an effort. There's something about doing something. Hallelujah. You pull that bow back with your whole heart. God will put his hands on yours. They let the man down before Jesus stopped. When he saw their faith in that they would stop at nothing. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? He said to that man, rise and take up your bed and walk.